all over the internet and every news media outlet out there. Everybody's talking about the swine flu. I mean, it's, you know, it just arrives on the scene out of nowhere, and it is kind of suspicious. And my guest today is none other than Agnes van der Planets. How you doing?
Fine. How about you?
Very good. Very good. Eating raw. Eating raw. First of all, one of the things I was amazed that I learned in the email was the nature of these viruses. Viruses are not living things, are they?
No, they're not. It's not like a microbe. It isn't like a microbe at all. They are protein waste products in solvent solution, and they can have animal tissue in them. Now, you cannot transfer animal tissue of that nature, any kind of an animal flu. Well, let me explain what a flu is. A flu is a solvent detoxification. A cold is normally a bacterial detoxification where microbes eat damaged tissue that is of a waste product, and when they consume that tissue, they can consume about 50 times their weight in 24 hours, and they have a waste product of about 1 to 5%. So that's like you eating 50 pounds of food in one day and having a 1 to 5-pound waste product to deal with the next day. That's a good janitor.
Yeah, really?
You know, so we want colds. Now, flus occur when people are so toxic that bacteria cannot help break down the toxic waste products that there's, because there's inorganic substances like chemicals from pesticides, inorganic fertilizers, food additives, Pepsi Cola, all those sodas which are just chemical, they have nothing to do with food. When those chemicals get in the body and saturate the body and they destroy the bacteria, then our bodies have to make a solvent or many varieties of solvents to dissolve tissue. So the body may make about 300,000 types of viruses that are specific to a specific tissue within a particular cell so that the whole cell isn't, its integrity isn't disrupted. So the whole cell doesn't die. It's just cleaning out, let's say, the veins in a particular area of the cell, whether it be the veins for neurological functions or lymphatic, which is cleansing, or the blood itself within the cell. So those are specific cleansing viruses, for specific areas in the body. Now, no time does it ever get to the point where you have more than, let's say, three viruses at a particular time in any particular body.
Okay.
Now, when we talk, if you're in a laboratory looking at it, there's nothing live there. You've got soaps. You've got solvents, just like we have soaps and solvents to dissolve grease off of your garage floor from your car. Now, what happens when you use a solvent, you use water in relationship with it because water is the main solvent on this planet.
Universal
it rains,
solvent,
dissolves
right.
rock, plants can eat.
Right.
So water is our main solvent. If you look under an archaeological book, the first thing listed under solvent is water.
Right.
So we mix a compound of proteins or chemicals which with water create a dissolution of substance. In this particular case, let's say the swine flu, you're talking about a specific tissue of a pig. And of course, a pig is not going to have a virus unless it is so toxic from poor feed and vaccines and all kinds of medication that it can't use its natural bacterial cleansing.
And that obviously is happening because if you've ever seen animal husbandry, how it relates to swine, I mean, they feed them garbage. They literally feed them, you know, garbage. Everything that people throw away and is rotten, they feed it to pigs. We have swine flu has arisen because we have sick pigs out there who cannot, the necessary viral response is inadequate for them to take care of their own bodies, so they develop, they manifest this swine flu, correct? I mean,
correct.
Okay.
Now, you can have 300,000 varieties of swine flu because of the different complex 300,000 different types of tissue to be cleansed within a pig, just like within any other animal organism. However, they cannot cross species.
So how did we get swine flu then?
It's been made in a factory and injected.
Okay. So in theory, a virus, first of all, there are good viruses, obviously, as you just
described. All viruses are good
viruses. Okay. All right. So they're obviously necessary responses to something that's happening biologically in us.
Correct.
And so...
Viruses have no nucleus. There's no respiratory system. There's no circulatory system. There's no digestive system. Viruses are not alive. That's like saying Tide soap is alive.
Okay.
They're not alive. They are solvents. They are soaps. Well, what's happening is, like I said, we have colds, which are mainly bacterial, which go in and feed on toxic tissue that's been damaged. Waste products that we don't eat well enough, we don't eat all raw, and therefore we accumulate toxicity. So bacteria have to come in and eat that waste products because we can't keep up with all the waste.
Gotcha.
Okay, so that's what a cold is.
Okay.
A flu is mainly viral. Some bacteria some areas of your body may not be so contaminated that the bacteria, natural way that we cleanse with bacteria when we're overloaded with toxicity or waste products, bacteria will help us. But when we are so toxic that the bacteria are poisoned by the tissue from chemical inundation, then we have to make solvents. Each cell makes a solvent.
Gotcha.
Each cell makes a soap to help clean itself.
Okay.
And it's a union. It's like a factory. They all, particular cells, get together and say, let's make this for us to help clean us. So they're making a soap to do that. So there's nothing dormant about it. It's just that when the accumulation of waste is so great and you can't use bacteria, then the cells make a solvent.
There you go. Okay.
And that's a flu. That's a virus.
Now, I want to start back at 1976, Agnes. What happened in 1976 with the swine flu vaccine?
Well, I was 29 and living in California at the time. And a doctor, McBean, from I forgot her first name, she's an MD. She and Ida Honoroff, who was a consumer advocate and was nationwide syndicated on like 3,000 radio networks.
Right.
Those two women showed that the swine flu was a hoax and that the swine flu vaccine that Ford and Rockefeller pushed through, David Rockefeller was our vice president and owned controlling stock in many pharmaceuticals. They were behind this swine flu thing. Even Gerald Ford went on and received his swine flu shot. Of course, David Rockefeller didn't. And they showed that the swine flu was a hoax and that the vaccine was going to harm and kill people.
And it did, in fact. Didn't some people die? I mean, a large number of people died from the vaccine. Isn't that right?
Well, there were three that died right there at the poll immediately after they got it. According to Ida, I did a radio show with her. She had the figures that showed 2,300 people, elderly people, died within 2 weeks of the shot as a result of the shot. In other words, they didn't have the flu before they got the shot, and then they got the swine flu from the shot. That is the only way that a human being can get a bird flu or a swine flu is if it is injected in them. We do not have those tissue. Once a animal product goes into our stomach, it no longer holds the animal's tissue. It completely dissolves it and makes it into human tissue. So there's no way we can get a swine flu or a bird flu, avian flu, any other flu. Years ago, they used to blame it on races, you know, the Spanish flu, the Mexican flu, and
right.
stuff like that.
Right.
Then when Rockefeller and Carnegie started taking over the universities in the early 1900s, shortly after that, after the Spanish flu incident, they started blaming everything on animals. Monkey flu, monkey AIDS, you know, all this stuff. They're always blaming an animal, a natural creature. They're always blaming nature. You cannot get a virus into another animal. Viruses are cellularly produced in their whole form. So if a human cell creates a virus, it can only be done inside a human body or in a test tube where you have human cells.
So there's no cross species
of flus. You can't do of viruses. It's impossible. Any kind of flu is the same thing. When the climate temperature is right, certain tissues will cleanse, and they may go in a 7-year cycle, they may have a 6-month cycle. It depends upon the tissue and how contaminated it is.
Mm.
If certain tissue needs to clean out every 2 years, it will create, and you can't use the bacteria, your body will create a solvent, a virus, that cleans that particular tissue every 2 years, every 6 months, every 3 months, every 7 years, every 12 years, depending upon that tissue and how contaminated it is. You cannot, herpes, you know, that's all a fiction of the pharmaceutical industry to sell drugs.
So in other words, if someone has a herpes, let's say a genital herpes,
yeah.
Wouldn't they be able to transfer it to someone else, especially if it's a man to a woman, since the inside of the vagina is basically like mucous membrane? It doesn't have the same barrier as, like, it doesn't have a stratum corneum like the outer dermis does. Couldn't you transfer it that way then?
Well, can you, do you think Tide soap is contagious?
No, it's not. I use it.
Okay. Yep. Okay. Tide soap isn't contagious. Solvents are not contagious. I can inject it into you.
And then?
And then you would get sick.
I got you. Okay.
And that's how people get the only way people can get swine flu is if they've taken animal a pig tissue, grown it in a solvent toxic environment, and then these swine cells create a virus to break itself down.
Okay. Now let's.
Okay. You can inject it into a human, and then you will find those actual swine tissue in there. It's just you have a waste product that now the body has to clean that waste product out of the body, and it's going to be very alarmed because you've got foreign tissue in there, injected into the body.
Okay.
That's why Guillain-Barré disease. That's why anaphylactic shock occurs when you inject people with foreign debris, foreign tissue. It goes into shock. It can even die from the shock of foreign tissue being injected into you.
Okay. In the email that you sent me, you postulated that perhaps some of this vaccine that was created back in 76, which killed so many people, it has just been vaulted. It has not been destroyed, you say, correct?
Correct. They were supposed to destroy it, but my understanding from one laboratory technician that I know who works at that lab, they vaulted it. They put it in a vault.
Why? I mean, that makes no sense to me. Why they would even vault something that killed people?
Because there seems to be certain people out there, and even President Kennedy, a month before he died, said in a speech, there is a secret society that means to get rid of and annihilate certain people. The Bush family was connected with Hitler. They financed Hitler. They're into annihilating people, to destroying, races and stuff like that.
Right.
So you've got these people that Kennedy tried to warn us about because he was in that affluent society with many of those people.
Right.
And they intend to destroy a lot of the population. As soon as the resources became very low, and the resources are getting pretty low, and we've got 6 billion people on the planet, and according to some of the information that's delivered to us, they want to get rid of 4.5 billion people.
So this is all part of the New World Order process that's occurring supposedly here in the country?
Well, that's, some people call it New Order, World Order. Other people call it other things, Skull and Bone, you know, groups
right.
from Yale.
Right.
Yeah, so that's part of it. And they gave the task of looking at overpopulation to Henry Kissinger back in the 60s. And he wrote a paper that's about 280-some pages. I think that's about 260. And he talks about the greatest way to get rid of overpopulation is to inject people with contaminated medications.
Really? He wrote that?
Yes. And you can look at the paper, look under overpopulation, Henry Kissinger, run his search engine, and you'll come up with that paper. And then that was given to the NSA, National Security Association, also the military, and you know, the government secret services, and they all voted on a particular proposition. I forgot the number, 281, something like that, and that gave the military and secret services, secret military divisions, the right to start biological warfare
uh-huh.
and experimentation on U.S. citizens.
So now this vaccine that was manufactured that killed all those people that has since been vaulted for no apparent good reason, how would it have found its way?
No, the apparent reason is that they want to reuse it.
No, that's yeah. But it's not a good reason. I'm saying it's a reason, but it's not a good reason. The reason is a.
It's not a healthy and
yeah,
and
it's a sinister,
compassionate,
yeah.
and
it's sinister.
Humanitarian idea.
Right, it's sinister. It's a sinister reason. So how yeah. does it find its way to Mexico?
Well, a few months ago, the Mexican government gave out free flu vaccines.
That's what I was going to ask. Were these people vaccinated?
Yes. So obviously they were given this, you know, some of the swine flu vaccine was taken out of the vault, given to the Mexican authorities, probably with a lot of money in their pocket. And they gave it to, you know, some clinics, and then it was being injected into people. And then when people got such a reaction, then it was, you know, they found swine tissue in their bloodstream and in their kidneys maybe and their bladders. You know, that's about the only place you could really find it and detect it.
Right.
In a laboratory test. So they find it, and then you have to understand that, see how this media campaign is so fast?
Oh, I know. It's
okay.
Explosive.
It is. It already had to be have been set up. They were already ready for the cases to be discovered. You can't have 85 cases show up and all of a sudden, oh my God! You know, we've got an epidemic on our hands that could be a pandemic.
Why would a backwoods hospital 40 miles outside of Seattle, in a town of 100,000 people? Test a man with a cough for an unknown coronavirus from across the world that had only killed 6 people at that time? And how would the Washington Post find out about it immediately? Why was the lab instructed to test for coronavirus specifically? And how did they already have a sample of traces of the coronavirus to test his blood, liver, and kidney tissues against for a positive match? At the time, only 6 people were allegedly dead and a few hundred sick in a city of 11 million people halfway across the world. That hospital couldn't think of any other reason a person might have a cough, fever, or respiratory trouble. Are you starting to see the game yet? 5G is going to make people very sick wherever it is turned on. They need you to believe this is the culprit.
To be reported, they would have to show that they're very unusual cases. They would have to, even when they go to have the laboratory test something, it never tests for anything that the laboratory is not directed to test for.
And I was just going to ask you that. I mean, they would have had to specifically been looking for swine flu in these individuals.
Exactly. So this has all been set up. It's a whole media campaign to sell what? They're trying to sell Donald Rumsfeld's Tamiflu.
I know. I'm getting emails.
They're going to pull the swine flu out of the vaults again and start selling the swine flu vaccine.
I've been inundated with emails from Canadian pharmacies telling me to stop buying Tamiflu now before it runs out. That's amazing. You said that. I got three emails today alone from three different Canadian pharmacies.
Yeah, well, the media is recommending people use Tamiflu to fight against the swine flu. All you have to do to fight against the swine flu is never get an injection from a doctor. The only way you can get any kind of foreign animal tissue into your body is by injection.
Yeah, you're right. It makes perfect sense. Makes perfect sense. Now you say that AIDS was created in a laboratory.
Yes, in UCLA, University of California, Los Angeles, 1961 and 62, they created a mixture. What they did was combine the waste product, the virus of a bovine, the lymphonomic virus of a sheep, and the leukemic virus of a bovine. The way you can only get a virus, like I said, is if the tissue is so toxic with chemicals that bacteria can't do their normal janitorial work and eat the organic tissue and then reduce the waste and eliminate little waste. When your body makes a solvent, the way which is a virus, a solvent is a virus, it's a soap, it's not alive. There's no nucleus, no respiratory system, no digestive tract, no circulatory system. There's none of that. So it's not alive. It's a waste product.
Right.
It's dissolved animal tissue.
Right.
Specific animal tissue. So what they do is they take animal tissue and put it in a petri dish in a contaminated environment, but with enough solution to keep them alive. So the cells start taking themselves apart with solvents. And will eventually kill the cell. This virus will kill the cell. It'll kill itself by poisoning itself and taking itself apart.
I want to ask you to elaborate more about the AIDS virus. So the AIDS virus is created in a lab at UCLA. For what purpose would they create something like that?
They were trying to create, according to the records that I got to see, and they were discovered by a Dr. Robert Strecker. I'm a nutritional doctor, got my PhD in nutrition. Dr. Strecker has like four doctorates, and one is in biochemistry and virology.
Right.
Now, the only way that you can make a virus is to put it in a petri dish with the animal tissue. Okay, the only way that animal tissue can ever get into a human is if it is injected
right.
or another animal.
Right.
So what they did was they incubated these two diseases from both a sheep and a cow, the leukemic virus of a cow, the bovine, and the lymphonomic virus of a sheep. They put those two together and created a new kind of deadly biological warfare disease.
So reason for it? Were they trying to come up with a new biohazard, a new biological warfare?
Well, they could have been the reason, but they put in their paperwork it was to create cancer. It was to force cancer in laboratory animals so they could study cancer.
Okay.
That is very suspicious reasoning to me, to come up with something deadly.
Yeah, because
there's
already lots of agents out there that will cause spontaneous tumor and cancers in rats.
Exactly. I mean, you can put cadmium in it, and you
right.
can have kidney cancer in weeks, you
right.
know, overloading with cadmium. There are lots of ways. So this was a suspicious reasoning for me, to my thinking. But it was done. Dr. Strecker called his brother, who was an attorney, and said, this is where it leads. Follow it. So his brother checked the NSA, the War Department, and yes, that information had been sent to those departments, and it was allowed, it was given the green light to be used in experiments. So he found out the experiments were undesirables. They figured that in these particular committees
right.
that the undesirables were homosexuals.
Right.
Now, how could they administer this to homosexuals to see the consequences of this particular formulation?
Well, you just have to find homosexuals who are also intravenous drug users and then spike the heroin or the speed or whatever they're shooting with some of this stuff, I guess.
No, you still can't get a good population that way. What they found was that in Los Angeles, New York City, Houston, and San Francisco, that 90% of the people who were being treated for hepatitis were homosexuals because they used a lot of drugs, damaged the liver. So hepatitis is a viral detoxification because there's so many chemicals in the liver, your bacteria from the liver can't clean it. So your body has to, the liver cells have to make solvents, which are again viruses. So it makes a self-cleansing substance. So your all of your hepatitises are diseases trying to reverse a toxic condition where the liver is about to stop working completely. When you get to hepatitis, that means your liver is in terrible shape. Bacteria can help you.
So you're saying they contaminated the hepatitis vaccine?
B vaccine. With this AIDS virus. And they injected, that's why 10% of the population in those cities who got AIDS were not homosexuals, they were heterosexuals.
Oh my God.
Then they went and put it in the smallpox vaccine. The U.S. government and the U.K. government donated hundreds of millions of dollars of smallpox vaccine to African countries. Then all of these do good meaning groups, you know, go out and administer and going to save the world by giving all these vaccines to African children and everybody to save their lives, were, you know, from smallpox, were given this AIDS virus in the smallpox vaccine.
That's amazing.
125 million were donated. How many cases of AIDS were propped up in Africa within a year?
I don't know that number, but I remember it was like half the population.
95 million.
Right.
75 million people died. Then what the U.S. government and the U.K. government did, went to those countries and said, listen, we have, you know, help for AIDS. We have chemotherapy, which is AZT.
Right.
We have chemotherapy that we can help your people with. We can help you stop this disease. We can treat your people. We'll bring the medical in, but you will owe us a lot of money. Now, they charge so much money that no way these countries could pay back. So when all of was done and said and done, and all these people were dead, and very few people ever came through the AIDS without death, the U.S. government, U.K. government says, oh, you owe us this much money. If you can't pay it, you owe us your country's resources.
Wow.
So they turned over the country's resources to be run by the World Bank. So that we took over, the U.S. government and the U.K. government took over 27 African countries with that AIDS hoax and inundation.
That's amazing.
It's just like they used a different kind of warfare to usurp another country's, you know, resources.
Shocking.
It's like war, like, you know, the Spanish, the Romans.
It's a stealth. They're waging a stealth war, because almost like a Trojan horse war, because they are being perceived as, they're being invited in, they're being perceived as the saviors, but they're really the ones creating the problem so that they can come in and finish the job.
Now, absolutely. If you read the book, Confessions of a Financial Hitman, I think that's the title. It talks of this man who worked for the U.S. government and the CIA. They went in and, loaned great amounts of money to foreign countries, foreign governments that could never pay it back and then would take over their resources.
Wow.
Look, that's the same thing they did with this AIDS incident.
Something that I never gave much thought to, you know, I was born in 1958 and, I don't have the mark on my arm from a polio vaccine, so I don't know that I ever got it. But I remember it was very popular back then. And you pointed something out that was really interesting. While people were running to get the polio vaccine, there were large numbers of people who were not getting the vaccine, and they were not seeing the outbreak in polio. For instance, the Amish and the Mennonites, they didn't go for the polio vaccine back then, and their kids didn't get polio. And the other interesting thing is all these third world countries, why are they not overrun by polio today if they're not getting these vaccines?
Well, because it's another hoax. Polio is a disease that comes out maybe every 28 years, and it'll have its peak and diminish. Sometimes it will be strong, but it's usually every maybe 240 years that polio will create, a severe reaction in humans. Now, polio is a poliomyelitis. Everybody has it. It's a bacterial detoxification of the spinal cord. So it usually takes many, many generations before the spinal cord will get that toxic to where, a whole race will have to go through a heavy detoxification at the same time. That doesn't mean it's contagious. It means that the toxicity builds up all in the whole race at a particular time, and everybody needs to cleanse their spinal cords at the same time. So it's not a contagious thing. But the detoxification came necessary right after canned foods came into being during the World War II. So 1945 to 1947, canned foods became a regular staple of our supermarkets. So people were eating tin, metal combinations, amalgams of metals that were implanting themselves in the spinal cord because the nervous system uses a lot of metallic minerals to conduct electricity and transfer light. So all of these free radical metals coming from tin were getting into the spinal cord. Mm-hmm. So by mid-1950s, we had a huge amount of cases of polio. And they weren't in the people who were eating normal food. They were in the more affluent neighborhoods who were living on canned foods like, you know, my parents did. They loved the new era of technology.
Right.
So they came up with a polio vaccine, and that was breeding polio tissue, monkey spinal cords. They would decompose that tissue and then say this is going to prevent disease. And in that was liquid mercury, liquid aluminum, formaldehyde, ether, and detergent. Those were just five of the 68 ingredients. All the other ingredients are labeled inert. Inert for what? And what is an inert matter? Doesn't mean it's not non-toxic.
Right.
It just means that it's not indicated as part of the solution of the problem given.
Hmm.
But it's very toxic material. So you have all of these toxic substances. Now, when the polio vaccine came out in 1958, it was a year after polio almost became extinct. It was down to 1% of the normally infected population that had preceded before it. Not 1% of the whole population, but all of the people who had been infected, it was down to 1% of the highest rate of infection.
So they introduced the vaccine on the heels of it going away on its own, in other words.
Not only the heels, actually the trail. So they took complete credit for getting rid of polio. It was already gone.
And you point out that in other countries, polio is not a problem, and they don't get polio vaccines.
Correct.
Do we still give children polio vaccines today?
Absolutely. They get three in their lifetime, minimum of three. And after I got my third, I got angina pectoris and diabetes.
Oh, wow.
Within days after my third vaccine.
And that's another right. thing. I mean, that, they're pushing that human papillomavirus vaccine on a lot of young girls now, and they're trying to make the parents feel guilty if they
guilty,
don't let their
yeah.
I would
yeah.
never let my kids get a vaccine of any type whatsoever.
Absolutely. They're all poison. And there's no record that they ever prevent anything. When I was in Paris studying at the Sorbonne, Pasteur's material, I had to have somebody help me because I don't do well in French. and it was all written in French, of course.
Right.
And he, not one of the animals he ever vaccinated lived.
Really?
Not one ever lived. They all died of anaphylactic shock or severe flus. Now, how can you say, oh, you're likely to get, some kind of disease and you take this, you're going to prevent it? When many people who get the vaccines actually get the disease.
Anyway,
in fact, there was 1% of all that. The 1958, there were three states and one city that kept record of polio cases. And they found that the numbers went all the way up to 484% increase in polio. All of them, all of the cases among people who had received three or more vaccines.
Wow.
Polio vaccines. So when you're injected polio tissue into somebody, you're going to give them polio.
Well, I went for a flu shot when I was a young adult, when I lived in Las Vegas. My mother called me and said, you know, the flu's going around, you should go get a flu shot. And I never thought about it. And I thought, okay, I'll go. You know, I got a flu shot, and 3 days later, I had all the symptoms of a flu. I was sick and down and out for about 2 days. And
you were given a flu.
Yeah, and I thought to myself, I'm never going to do that again. Well, that would be stupid.
Absolutely is stupid. There's not one person that doesn't get sick from a flu vaccine. They may get a little nauseous. They may have diarrhea. They may have some vomit. They may get dizzy. They may get very sleepy for days. Everybody has a reaction.
So there's the key. If you never want to get the swine flu, don't go get the swine flu vaccine. There you go.
Don't get any injection. You never know what's in them.
I want to back up to the year 2018. CDC scientist, Dr. Timothy Cunningham, was a CDC scientist from Atlanta, Georgia, found dead at the age of 35. He was an epidemiologist, probably a drowning, they said. So I want you to know, before he died, he issued a warning to the public, and he said that people were dying of the flu vaccine. And the one thing that was the common link was that people dying of the flu were all people who have had the vaccine. People dying of the flu were people that have had the vaccine. So, he disappeared. He left his dog, his wallet. Actually, he went home from work. This is how the story went. He went home from work saying that he didn't feel well that day. So I'm thinking, did somebody poison him? Okay, because he was already under attack. So, Dr. Timothy Cunningham, he was a young, handsome African-American scientist, epidemiologists, and they deemed it as probably drowning. So whatever law enforcement agency was on the ground was conspiring with a bigger plot or plan to come after this man for exposing the truth. Okay? He admitted that the flu vaccine was causing death. All right? Now, I want to address academia, all academia, nurses, doctors, all institutions, anyone who is pushing vaccines is leading people astray. We have known the truth about the deadly ingredients of the vaccines and all of this scandal that has been taking place since the 1960s and the origin of AIDS with the introduction of polio vaccine.